It's a long way from Long Island to the White Earth Reservation. This week, I'm talking to Zach Page, who made that journey and is now helping to preserve original seeds for planting. Zach has an interesting heritage on both sides, beginning with his grandpa.
He fell in love with his wife, which is my grandma, and she was from Brooklyn. She is a Puerto Rican and Spanish, coming from the Cayman Islands and Puerto Rico. And my mom's family came from Poland originally, both her parents, and they're both Eastern European Jews. So they came, some came before the Holocaust, and some didn't make it over to Ellis Island, the whole deal. So
Zach went to high school in East Northport, Long Island, and later went to college for music. I'm always interested in how a person's life can take such odd twists and turns and lands us in another place entirely.
After college, I taught private music lessons, and I kind of did a lot of odd jobs. Like, I worked in a bakery, and one time I visited a friend out on a farm, like in college, and since I had been like a suburbanite my whole life, I never really went to like farms and in the country. So it was a big surprise for me, and I really enjoyed it a lot. And so in the summers after college, I was teaching music in the school year, but in the summer times I was working on farms. I was alone with the hoe and just kind of meditating. A lot of things, a lot of questions would enter my mind, but I guess one of the big questions was, like, what makes a plant, cultivated plant, different from a wild plant? And why do we eat cultivated food, not wild food? Why don't we save seeds? So that led me down a path to plant breeding, and now I'm getting my master's in plant breeding. So a lot of things kind of started when I was working on those farms, and then when I was looking at a place to work, I saw the White Earth Land Recovery Project, and I thought that was like a perfect place for me to get an indigenous perspective of food. And
Zach came to White Earth as a VISTA volunteer, a way to learn a whole new perspective about food and sustainable farming.
Yeah, and I didn't know that I'd be staying at all. I thought, you know, a summer here, and when I left, I was like 26, and I was pretty open to going wherever led me in a direction that I wanted to learn, and I ended up staying here for a while, which was good.
You're listening to The Call of the Wild. This week, I'm talking to Zach Page in Callaway, Minnesota. The White Earth Land Recovery Project has their hands in a lot of things, from land recovery to seed recovery. Zach's interest in corn grew naturally out of his work when he was asked to help with the Indigenous Farming Conference.
So I met Frank Kutka, who is a corn breeder out in North Dakota, and he just started telling me all about the history of corn, and the Mandan tribe up there were the real corn breeders, because corn took a path of 8,000 years of coming from a little grass. So corn's a grass, and it came from Mexico, and it went both to South America and North America, and went spanned that whole country of both sides, and took different paths, and went through different tribes, and through 8,000 years, it was developed to be what it is today, with that indigenous science and spirituality. And it's a magical plant, and like, I'm always happy to go out in the cornfield and watch it grow and hear the sounds of the leaves rustling. So
corn is a magical plant. I like that. It has history and a relationship to us humans.
Because nobody knows why things evolve or grow or in a certain way. And I think it has a lot to do with the way that those seeds are handled and the energy given and taken, because for one reason alone is that something like corn couldn't survive without humans at all. Right. At all. Because if it happened, if it tried, the cob would turn around and all the seeds would fall down in one place, so you'd have 500 seeds in an area of 4 inches, and that couldn't work because there wouldn't be enough space for each individual plant, and probably in just 1 year it'd all be gone because it's grown with us, so it needs us to be planted. So it's pretty amazing, and that was a big revelation, I think, when I learned that, because all the environmentalists say basically is don't touch it at all, like leave this 10,000 acres of wilderness like alone, and it's too extreme, and I think the Western thought thinks in these extremes.
There's a lot of buzz about genetically modified foods these days, how it affects our health, and the future of food production. Zach likes the bigger picture.
We're a part of it. We don't have to be afraid to be a part of the big picture, I think. And I think that it's a fun thing to be a part of.
Zach is just one small part of the big picture. There's a growing network of indigenous people and many others who are working to build seed banks to preserve the ancient seeds and to ensure future generations have access to those seeds. It requires a lot of groundwork, so to speak, and a lot of education.
It's a really good, strong network that we're building that has a lot of different kinds of knowledges. People come in like PhD corn breeders, but then we also have storytellers come in. So the span is Michigan to North Dakota, South Dakota, and we've got well over 13 partners that we started with.
Like I said, Long Island is a long way from White Earth, but it doesn't sound like Zach has plans to go anyplace else at the moment. He stayed to learn more and now lives in one of the early Recovery Project buildings. When I met him, he was surrounded not by corn, but braids of garlic.
It's kind of like the side project for now. It's good.
Cool.
Grow a few varieties of that. And you can see his garlic braids over there.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Oh my gosh. In fact, the room is kind of filled with garlic everywhere.
Yeah, if you look, kind of slowly look around, there's some in there. But yeah.
Yeah.
With the Call of the Wild, I'm Milt Lee.